You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
From ABC News, World News This Week. I'm Chuck Severson in New York. Coming up,
we expect you to comply with our information requests and our subpoenas.
House Republicans formalize an impeachment probe into President Biden.
There's no evidence to support the allegations that my father was financially involved in my business because it did not happen.
The U.S. urges Israel to scale back its war in Gaza.
I want them to be focused on how to save civilian lives.
Deadly Tennessee twisters.
The entire sky across the street is just spinning.
Feel the music. Wearing a high-tech shirt. The people and events that made headlines when World News This Week continues.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
An impeachment inquiry into President Biden formalized this week by House Republicans, the party line vote strengthening efforts to determine if the president was involved in the foreign business dealings of his son Hunter and his own brother. House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer of Kentucky after the vote.
I think that sent a message loud and clear to the White House. We expect you to comply with our information requests and our subpoenas.
GOP lawmakers have uncovered no evidence so far after looking for the last year. President Biden calling the probe a baseless political stunt. More from ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
The move coming just hours after the president's son made a surprise appearance on Capitol Hill.
For 6 years, I have been the target of the unrelenting Trump attack machine shouting, "Where's Hunter?" Well, here's my answer. I am here.
For years, Republicans have tried to tie President Biden to his son's business dealings, but have found no concrete evidence of wrongdoing. Hunter Biden already indicted for failing to pay taxes he has since repaid, insisting his father did nothing wrong.
In the depths of my addiction, I was extremely irresponsible with my finances. But to suggest that is grounds for an impeachment inquiry is beyond the absurd. It's shameless. There is no evidence to support the allegations that my father was financially involved in my business because it did not happen.
House Republicans had subpoenaed him to testify behind closed doors, but Hunter Biden says if they want to hear from him, it should be in public.
They have ridiculed my struggle with addiction, they have belittled my recovery, and they have tried to dehumanize me, all to embarrass and damage my father, who has devoted his entire public life to service.
The chair of the Republican Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan, says they will hold Hunter Biden in contempt for defying their subpoena. This, though Jordan himself refused to comply with a subpoena from the January 6th committee. House Republicans have spent a year investigating the Bidens and have come up with nothing on the president. They say formalizing their impeachment inquiry will allow them access to more documents. Democrats say it's all a sham, less than a year before the election.
Israel's war on Hamas entering its 11th week. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says more than 18,700 Gazans have been killed since the deadly Hamas terror attack on October 7th. The U.S. this week urging Israel to scale back the war. Details from ABC's James Longman in Israel.
That high-stakes meeting in Israel.
Thank you for your support.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan urging Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to scale back the most intense fighting amid the soaring civilian death toll in Gaza. A U.S. official confirming a report in the New York Times that a lower-intensity operation may involve the use of smaller groups of elite Israeli forces that would carry out more precise missions to find and kill Hamas leaders, rescue hostages, and destroy tunnels. President Biden weighing in.
I want them to be focused on how to save civilian lives. Not stop going after Hamas, but be more careful.
A U.S. official confirming that nearly half the air-to-ground munitions that Israel has used in Gaza have been unguided. So-called dumb bombs. Experts say dropping those bombs from lower altitudes, which a Pentagon official claims Israel is doing, can boost their precision. And Netanyahu defiant, saying Israel is more determined than ever to continue fighting until Hamas is eliminated.
More on the high-level U.S.-Israeli meeting from ABC News foreign correspondent Britt Klenet in Israel.
Now, a senior U.S. official says they believe both sides are in broad agreement that the future of Gaza should be Palestinian land, Palestinian-led, in a manner that is not a threat to Israel and that Israel is not a threat to them.
But the Israeli military says there are many more months ahead in the war, telling U.S. officials this week it's flooding the labyrinth of tunnels under Gaza, where Hamas leaders are believed hiding. More than 130 hostages, including Americans, may also be under there. In Tel Aviv this week, thousands rallying to demand release of the captives. The international community urging action. More from ABC's Jacqueline Lee.
World leaders still focused on getting hostages home. ABC News speaking to freed hostage Roz Ben Ami, released from Hamas captivity just 2 weeks ago. Her husband is still being held hostage.
How can I be okay when he's there and I'm here?
Roz tells us she is so traumatized from her hostage ordeal, she has not shared the details with her daughters. She says she will continue to fight for her husband's safe return.
Israeli military saying they found the bodies of at least three more hostages in Gaza. In the U.S., officials are on high alert after the overseas arrests of suspected Hamas terrorists police say were plotting attacks in Europe. More from ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
In Denmark, three suspected supporters of Hamas taken into custody as part of a joint investigation with Israeli intelligence, accused of plotting revenge attacks because of the war in Israel and Gaza. The Danish Prime Minister calling the arrests symbolic of an extremely serious situation, saying it was completely unacceptable for someone to bring the conflict in Israel to Denmark. And in Berlin, three people arrested along with another in the Netherlands for allegedly plotting to target Jewish institutions. And it's not just Europe on a high alert. U.S. officials say it's the most concerning terrorist environment since 9/11. FBI Director Rake telling me at a recent press conference, this is not a time for panic, but vigilant, and that people should make no mistake that we are in a more dangerous time than we've been in for a while.
It's unimaginable what she has been through over the last week.
That's attorney Molly Duane of the Center for Reproductive Rights talking about her client, a Texas mother of two, who was seeking an abortion under the state's restrictive ban. She sued, saying her health was deteriorating, but the Texas High Court rejected her appeal.
The Texas Supreme Court ruling against 31-year-old Kate Cox, whose fetus had a severe condition and little chance of survival.
There's no outcome here, you know, that results in us taking home a healthy baby girl. So it's hard. It's overwhelming.
The Texas Supreme Court saying she didn't qualify for the state's narrow exception to prevent bodily harm or save the life of the mother, stating no one disputes that Ms. Cox's pregnancy has been extremely complicated, but that some difficulties, even serious ones, do not pose the heightened risks to the mother the exception encompasses. Cox going out of state for the procedure.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott, who with ABC's Diane Sawyer spoke about the wave of restrictive abortion policies around the country with women, doctors, and presidential candidates.
This deeply personal struggle now forcing candidates for president to address how they feel about Kate Cox's ordeal. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
It seems to me this should have been a pretty easy decision and the Texas Supreme Court got it wrong.
Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley suggesting a female president might be better at this, saying, I don't think the fellas have known how to talk about it. Telling our own John Carl, it's up to Texas to change the law.
Now it's up to the legislature in Texas to say, how do we make sure there are no more Kates that go through that?
Diane Sawyer and I sat down with 18 women from 10 different states who face life-threatening emergencies and severe complications with non-viable pregnancies, but were denied access to abortions.
Is this a debate over abortion or is it a debate over health care?
Health care.
It's a debate over human rights.
We also spoke with doctors like Amelia Huntsberger in Idaho, who told Diane the law's exception to save the life of the mother is vague and dangerous.
Is 25% chance of death, is that enough? Does she have to have a 75% chance of death? Who gets to decide? Do you want the government making your medical decisions?
State politicians around the country supported the abortion restrictions currently in place. There are over 2,000 of them. They are overwhelmingly male. For Dr. Huntsberger, it's all too much.
It feels like state-sanctioned suffering.
This summer, Dr. Huntsberger and her husband, who was also a doctor, decided they were no longer able to take care of their patients under these conditions, and they moved out of Idaho.
I had the privilege of serving a community that I love for more than 10 years. It's been really hard. And I don't have any regrets about the decision that we've made.
Doctors we spoke to told us that the more state lawmakers in the courts make decisions about their patients' health, the harder it is to care for them. In fact, in states with complete abortion bans, there has been a significant drop-off in OBGYN doctors who want to practice there.
4 weeks till the first votes are cast in the race to the White House. The former president still way ahead of the pack. An update from ABC News Chief Washington correspondent Jonathan Carl.
Trump once again said he would be a dictator if he gets back into the White House, but only on his first day in office.
You know why I wanted to be a dictator?
Because neither Trump's legal problems nor his recent controversial comments have hurt his standing as the clear frontrunner for the Republican nomination. In fact, a new poll shows his biggest lead yet in the state that votes first, the Iowa caucuses.
But former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is gaining momentum, the former U.S. ambassador winning the endorsement of New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu.
I've been spending time with all the candidates, right? Chris Christie and Ron DeSantis, Nikki, probably more than anyone in the country, dozens of all their events. She's making a connection with individuals, right? It isn't just, here's my policy, here's my big government solution. She's letting people ask questions. She's earning trust. And that's why her numbers were skyrocketing even well before I got on board.
New Hampshire's primary is January 23rd. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani says he'll appeal a D.C. verdict. Jurors awarding nearly $150 million to two election workers, the judge said he defamed.
For his lies about the two election workers, Rudy Giuliani has been ordered to pay the women more than $148 million. It's a number the cash-strapped former mayor calls absurd.
I am quite confident when this case gets before a fair tribunal, it'll be reversed so quickly. It'll make your head spin.
In tearful testimony, Ruby Freeman and her daughter Shay Moss said they were forced into hiding after Giuliani falsely claimed that they engaged in voter fraud. Giuliani says he regrets that they were harassed, but he says he had nothing to do with it. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Back overseas, Russia's Vladimir Putin this week doubling down on his invasion of Ukraine.
At his annual year-end news conference, the Russian president, through a translator, stressing his goals in Ukraine remain unchanged.
The Nazification, demilitarization of Ukraine and its neutral status.
And when will it all be over?
The peace will come when we reach our goals.
The stoic position comes as Ukrainian President Zelensky has been forced to plead for more U.S. and European backing after a stalled counteroffensive and reports of fracturing Western support for his country. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
Zelensky in Washington this week urging Congress to send more aid, saying his country is only the first stop if Russia wins.
Ukraine can now tackle the Russian dictatorship, so our children and other nations won't have to shed their blood.
But Republican lawmakers are pushing major changes to U.S. border policy before approving further assistance to Ukraine. The Senate working on a compromise.
President Biden said the White House is working with Senate Democrats and Republicans to try and reach a bipartisan compromise on border security and policy that would break a stalemate and get funding for Ukraine and Israel across the finish line.
Compromise is how democracy works, and I'm ready and offered compromise already. Holding Ukraine funding hostage in the attempt to force through an extreme Republican partisan agenda on the border is not how it works. We need real solutions.
The president's still not providing specifics on where he would be willing to compromise on border policies. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Meanwhile, Zelensky is hailing a victory for Ukraine after a major move by the European Union. Details from ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge.
EU leaders have agreed to open accession talks with Ukraine. It doesn't mean that Ukraine is going to join the EU tomorrow, but it's a hugely, hugely symbolic moment. And it's significant for Ukraine. It means a lot to the country when really things on the battlefield right now are not going in their direction.
U.S. stocks ending the week higher, making record-setting gains this week after the Federal Reserve said it's done with hiking interest rates.
Taming inflation by raising interest rates to slow growth while at the same time not sending the economy into a recession. When the Fed started its successive post-pandemic interest rate hikes, a so-called soft landing seemed like a long shot. Not anymore. With inflation now at just over 3%, down from 7% the year before, the Fed announcing those rate hikes are over. It's the kind of news that's good for stocks, and on Thursday, investors started buying. Diane Swonk, chief economist for KPMG.
The markets have really taken off on the concept that the Fed is done. We got an early Christmas present from Jay Powell with a full pivot from where he was just a few weeks ago, not only saying that, you know, they took basically all rate hikes off the table, but discussed that they're going to be cutting rates.
Powell indicating that there could be at least three rate cuts in 2024. In anticipation of that, this week mortgage rates have dropped just below 7% for the first time since August. And all of this good news for your nest egg. For the typical American's 401k that stayed invested in stocks all year, your balance is up about $13,000. Dave Packer, ABC News.
In Tennessee, severe tornadoes among more than 30 twisters reported across seven states. Six people killed in two Tennessee counties. A tornado hitting Luke Dill's neighborhood in Clarksville.
I look up in the sky and the entire sky across the street is just spinning. And I'm looking at it and the wind is picking up. I can see the debris starting to fly and it just started coming down.
Dill is chief of training for an international disaster response group and a retired Green Beret. The tornado leaving his home alone, but destroying many others.
Neighbors were out. Anyone that was able to, the whole community just jumped out. And it was people helping people as soon as possible.
Tennessee now cleaning up. More storms expected this weekend, coast to coast. In Newtown, Connecticut this week, a candlelight vigil marking 11 years since the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School. The victims remembered.
Charlotte Bacon. Daniel Barden.
20 children and six adults were killed by a lone gunman. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries in the steps of the U.S. Capitol says Republicans are leaving town for the holidays without dealing with America's firearms crisis.
We will continue to speak up. We will continue to show up. We will continue to stand up. We will not rest until we end the gun violence epidemic in the United States of America.
In Oslo, a ceremony honoring this year's Nobel Peace Prize winner, imprisoned Iranian activist Narges Mohammadi, for her work on women's rights and democracy and her fight against the death penalty. Nobel Committee Chair Barrett Rice Anderson.
This year's Peace Prize recognizes the brave women in Iran and around the world who fight for basic human rights and for an end to the discrimination and against segregation of women.
Mohammadi's teenage children accepting the award on her behalf. If you're a Tesla owner, it's very likely your vehicle is being recalled.
Tesla is recalling 2 million vehicles, nearly every car it's ever made. EV Pulse editor-in-chief Chad Kirshner says it has to do with the car's standard driver assistance technology called autopilot.
It handles the lane centering, accelerating, and decelerating so that you can pay attention to other things.
Autopilot is a hands-on system,
which means you're never supposed to take your hands off the steering wheel.
But the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says that system is easy to fool and that the company doesn't do enough to ensure drivers are being attentive.
They say the car can drive itself, and it can't. Tesla hasn't done enough to tell people that it can't.
Tesla has agreed to fix the problem with a free over-the-air software update, but it says there is incontrovertible data that shows autopilot saves lives. NHTSA's investigation into the tech is ongoing. I'm Mike DeBusky, ABC News.
Actor Ryan O'Neal died this week, remembered for TV's Peyton Place, the movie's Love Story, and Paper Moon. O'Neal also co-starred with Barbara Streisand in the main event.
one of Ryan O'Neill's best-known roles, that of the preppy millionaire Oliver Barrett IV in Love Story.
What would you say if I told you I think I'm in love with you?
The role, opposite Ally McGraw, earned O'Neill an Oscar nomination. He followed that up with the well-received Paper Moon in 1973. His career would be up and down after that, and he would often make news more for his personal life than his acting. His more than 20-year off-and-on-again relationship with Farrah Fawcett was particularly headline-worthy. In a statement, his son Patrick writes that his dad missed Fawcett terribly, and now they're together again. Ryan O'Neill was 82. Jason Athens in ABC News, Hollywood.
In Los Angeles this week, a warm welcome for the $700 million man, Shohei Ohtani, winning the biggest contract in sports history, though he won't see most of the money for years.
The Dodgers welcoming superstar Shohei Ohtani in English and his native Japanese, wearing the iconic Dodgers uniform for the first time after signing an unprecedented $700 million contract. The two-time MVP says his decision was not about the money, telling reporters when the Dodgers look back the last 10 years, even though they made the playoffs every year and won a World Series ring, they consider that a failure. When I heard that, I knew they were all about winning, and that's exactly how I feel. Between now and 2033, the Dodgers will pay Ohtani a total of $20 million. The Dodgers are deferring the remaining $680 million until 2034, when Ohtani will get yearly $68 million installments until 2043. ESPN reports the unusual structure was Ohtani's idea and will give the Dodgers enough salary space to sign other players.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Coming up, a brand new shirt for an age-old art. When World News This Week continues.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
A high-tech top is helping hearing-impaired opera lovers feel the music. ABC's Danny New explains.
For some of us, when we think about the opera, our first thought is probably hearing those thundering voices. But for the record, the Lyric Opera of Chicago says they do get plenty of attendees who are deaf and hard of hearing.
So they can read the titles or watch the ASL interpreter tell the story.
So I'm going to turn this on.
However, thanks to an idea from senior digital director Brad Dunn, this past fall, the Opera House just became the first in the world to offer a technology that could further improve the inclusivity of opera.
So you're wearing it right now?
I am wearing it as we speak.
It's called the Sound Shirt, and essentially, when the orchestra and performers begin, the music gets processed and mapped out to 28 little vibrating motors inside the shirt.
It takes the music and turns into physical sensations so they can feel it on their body.
And perhaps most fascinatingly, the Sound Shirt does this live. It's not a taped, preset algorithm. You get to experience a performance. The Opera House spent months working with the Chicago Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities and testing with folks who are deaf and hard of hearing.
It's just a wonderful experience.
And now, with one season under their belt, the Lyric hopes other theaters will give this a shot, too.
That was ABC's Danny New. And those are the people and events that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Joan Harris. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.